Vince from the band Cake, and we're fast losing our hearing, and music is our only livelihood, so it really leaves us in a desperate and depressing situation.
There is always an unseen, unwelcome passenger.
If we had been smart, we could have averted this, but now it's pretty much over.
So wear your earplugs, please.
It's 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. Good evening. My show runs every every Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. this summer. And up until now, we've had pre-recorded podcast shows put together by myself in the comfort of my own boring house. But now, today, just for the relaxing month of August, we're going to have a live conversation. And we have four people here in the studio live today. Me, Big H, Dr. M, if I remember correctly, BLAQ, is that you?
Yep.
And Becky with the good hair over here.
That's what's up.
Wait, speak into it.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
And you?
Hello.
Oh. Can you hear myself? Oh no, that microphone's off. Okay.
Let's see.
Okay, that should do it.
I think I hear myself now.
Okay, good.
Oh, yours is fine, right?
Hello.
Great.
Can I hear myself? I don't know how.
Bring it up closer to your mouth.
That's what he said.
Hello, hello. I couldn't hear myself.
Well.
All right, so are you too loud? Your volume is right here?
Yeah, you can adjust it. Oh, I couldn't hear myself.
Too loud.
Is something wrong with the...
It's your volume knob, which is right over here, I think.
About me?
Or this one?
Oh, that's mine.
All right, so today I want to thank you all for being here.
It's way too loud.
Is it?
Can you trace? Way too loud.
Can you? Oh, I am. How about now?
Keep going.
Down.
Keep going.
Bring me off.
Keep going.
And can you trace your wire to the correct jack? Oh, you're crossed. That's why.
Oh.
Okay. Great.
Okay, so I'm gonna.
So here at 91.5 WMFO Medford,
hello.
We want to thank you all for listening over the past several months. I've done my best to present a series of ideas that are maybe not necessarily heard if you are only watching television or only watching some other place that's and maybe not thinking clearly. So what we'll start with is a definition of most people would consider a derogatory term, because they don't wish to think any more than what television tells them to think is a conspiracy. But that is actually a term that I feel, and you guys feel free to chime in.
Conspiracy analyst.
Analyst. Okay. Well, I think that term itself is a created term that was created after the John F. Kennedy assassination and
CIA
to make it seem that there are things that you cannot talk about. It was created so that you can dismiss something as crazy or as secret or as something that I don't even want to wrap my little pretty head around. That it makes me feel tired. But in fact, it's something that you should consider as part of free thinking and free speech, and a way to broaden your mind and to be curious about the world and how the things around you affect you in the past and in the future. So you can see as things happen in the past, they follow through into the future, and similar things will occur, or similar actions will be taken for similar ends. So, with that being said, you have to consider that there are many ways to think about things in the world, and as you get older, you understand that people have many different viewpoints, and there's more than just school and television. So what we're doing is talking about real life and talking to each other, so that we can we can try to make sense of things as we see them. Because, you know, some people can see things more clearly than others, and it's not that they're any different. It's just that they have noticed patterns and they're not watching TV. So the first thing I would say is, you know, you got to stop watching television and listening to, you know, national news all the time and wherever it comes on the radio. And don't listen to only one thing. Don't even just listen to me. Look at sources on the internet, sources on all the mainstream media, but also other underground sources that are present in our reach, because you just have to, you know, go right on the internet and you'll find something that you can either feel comfortable with or is speaking to you in a way that is comfortable to you. Now, so I want to ask you, first of all, Becky with the good hair, you grew up in Nairobi, Kenya, and
that's
then you
right.
came here. It's still not on?
I can hear.
Are you still not there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you just need to turn yourself up.
Okay. And you were just, tell me how things are happening and what has happened for COVID response in Nairobi and Kenya the past year or two.
Well, I mean, COVID was a thing in Nairobi too. You know, a couple people died, which is unfortunate. But it wasn't as advertised as it was over here. We don't know why yet. Some people think that the government was using COVID as a way to get funds. Whether that's true, we don't know. But people went on with their, you know, normal day-to-day lives. And right now, I mean, people still wear masks, or at least are encouraged to wear masks.
Really? Wow.
What's the what's the shot uptake for them? It's hardly any. Did everybody get the shot? 50%?
I'd say about 20% of people got the shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No jab, no job? Did that happen over there?
No, that's not an option, because a lot of people are not really employed in that sense. There's a lot of self-employment.
It's a gig economy.
Gig economy, yeah. So
they don't need government intervention to survive.
Yeah.
Point number one.
Yeah.
They weren't threatened with anything, right?
No. No. It's you know, you
do you have a Nairobi PSA that you could queue up? I mean, what was the messaging like?
The messaging was, if you can get the vaccine, get it. If you can't, try and stay as safe as possible. But because if you stay at home, you don't get food. So
right, exactly,
people
yeah.
just had to go out and, you know, fend for themselves.
No, meaning fend for yourselves, just on the streets in the from what I could tell, there's a large portion of the city of Nairobi that's slums, and then there's a smaller portion that is, you know,
city.
Modern first world like we see here around the Boston area. Do you think that the people who are in the slums were afraid of this disease?
Well, so the first thing is, a lot of people live in the rural areas, which is like, I guess, what you guys call suburban.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like, I'd say 60%, 60 to 70%.
Okay.
And so the remaining 40% is what's in the urban areas. And yes, a majority of those live in slums. And if you know anything about slums, it's very close.
Yeah, it's like Mumbai. If you go to Mumbai, they're piled on
right.
top of each
yeah.
other.
Yeah, and so there isn't really infrastructure. But these are the people who have to go out every day and do something to get food, to put food on the tables. And so they just went about their business. Some people hypothesize that the reason COVID didn't affect them as much is because, you know, due to lack of infrastructure, like, the water's already dirty. Hmm. Like, there's, you know, there's garbage all
so you
around
said
your house.
There's 40%, really? 60% of the people don't live in the city.
Oh, no.
So who lives in the city? The wealthy, like, the
the 40%, normal. But it's not all wealthy people. So within the 40%, maybe, like, 10% is wealthy.
And the other ones
and
are city
other
jobs or government, state, or whatever commerce is.
That's right, yeah.
Commerce, it's
yeah.
the center. So
yeah.
everybody else is pretty self-sufficient. So when's the last time you were there, or do you have contact with
Three
people?
3 years I haven't been there in a while.
Do you have contact with people? Do you have any friends there or family?
I mean, I still do have friends and family.
How are they doing?
They're fine.
You don't communicate with them in 3 years?
No. I mean, we do communicate, and they are fine. Most of my friends and family actually are in the city.
And they're doing fine.
Yeah.
So did any of them have anyone who died of COVID?
I've had of, you know, friends of friends, relatives.
Right, but nobody...
But not anybody that I know of.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And there wasn't any messaging like stay home, stay safe, save a life type of things? Or
well, you can't do it. It wouldn't work. Yeah.
Right. And what's the government structure like? Are they trusted by their...
No.
No, of course
it's a
not.
Very corrupt government.
Right.
<so.
laughs> Well, yeah, like every other government.
I mean,
much.
It's corrupt to the point that people cannot rely on the government. So people have to go out and find...
Right, so they're on their own, and they seem to be doing fine.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And the government has very little to do with them, and they have very little to do... Vice versa.
I'd pretty much say that, yeah.
Sounds like heaven.
No, I mean, there is good things about that, and there also is bad things. Because, I mean, you don't want to stay in a place that doesn't have clean water. Like, that's just a basic human need, right?
Yes.
But they don't get that.
But the people in the cities do? Is there a... Obviously,
the
commerce
slums,
centers.
You don't. In the slums,
no. No. Well, in slums, most they're on their own anyway. But I'm saying, so the people in the city.
Yeah, people in the city get
they're
it.
They're all set.
But if you have 40% of the people in the city, but like, I'd say like, no, I'll give it half and half. Half of them don't have access to clean water. That's,
right.
That's still a problem.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Now, as far as the COVID vaccine, let's not call it a vaccine. Let's call it an injection.
Shot.
It's an injection. Because a vaccine means it works. It means that a vaccine is a very specific type of...
They changed the definition, remember?
I know, but that is not valid, because you can't just go changing the word blue meaning red. A vaccine is a carefully constructed set of either slightly active or mostly dead cells that replicates the virus that then triggers the body into create antibodies. Those antibodies will then be active against the live virus when you encounter it in the world. That is not what happened with these injections, for the most part, the mRNA ones. And we can...
Yes, it is.
It is?
Yeah.
It's the same thing?
Yeah, because they told us it was.
Oh, well.
Well, in terms of body response, they're similar, because they're both enemies. So the way people react are similar. They all use their T cells and B cells to target it and attack it. Eventually have some memory B cells to memorize those things and have antibodies in their body eventually.
Yeah, but it didn't happen with these.
Yes.
Eventually. It never happened. Their antibody levels stayed the same or even were depressed.
Well, yes, I agree with that. But the way this actually works for the several that were mRNAs, I think it was the Pfizer and the
Moderna
ones, those are lipid nanoparticles, which is basically a chunk of fat that's really tiny. And then inside that chunk of fat, they've got the mRNA, which is the thing that will change your cells' directions on how it works. And so when the fat is touching a cell, it gets absorbed, and then that mRNA gets inside the cell. And then that mRNA tells the cell to make the spike protein, which basically is what the body sees as the virus. And so then the cell is making the spike protein. And then the body attacks that cell because it's attacking the spike protein. And so if whatever cells you have been, who have uptake, who have absorbed these lipids, will now be creating the T cell, and the body will attack those. So what if your injection goes into a vein and the cells spread through that, or the lipid nanoparticles spread through that vein? And what if they reach the heart? What if they reach the lung or other cells and they are absorbed into those cells in your body? Well, then your body is attacking those cells. So it leads to gigantic blood clots. Say your injection goes into your vein and the lipid nanoparticles go down your arm. Well, all the cell walls, the walls of that vein, have been affected by those particles, and those cells will now be creating the virus. And your body sees your entire cell, the entire wall of your vein, as the enemy. So it's attacking the cells there, and that creates the blood clots that we've seen. Many people have died from gigantic blood clots. Somebody pulled out a 3-foot-long blood clot from a body. But that does not exist in real life. There's no reason for that to happen.
Do you want to chime in, ex-GYN girl?
But wait, and then what if it's the cell, what if it's the heart cells? Then your body attacks the heart, and we see large amounts of myocarditis,
thrombocytopenia.
120, isn't it? 120 soccer players around the world have dropped dead in the past year and a half from
myocarditis. 400.
400?
Yeah.
Professional soccer players who are the most athletic, most in-shape people, athletes in the world, are dropping dead from heart attacks. And you know it's not the cocaine, because they do not take cocaine. It's very tested. But
don't forget that swimmer who passed out in the water. Did you hear about her?
No, who?
I don't know what her name is. Not the.
Well, it's. I knew of at least 120 the last time I checked of the professional athletes who dropped dead because of that, and there are many other vaccine injuries who are reported to the VAERS system, and it's just clear that this is something that is an emergency authorized use item. That is an experimental new treatment in the history of human beings, and nobody knows how it really works. So companies who are paying for, who use much of their profits to pay for government influence, are influencing the government to pass a law that says you can't sue these companies, their own companies, in case their treatments don't work. So therefore, they are free to just distribute this injection to anybody who can be convinced to do it. And how are you convinced? Well, through all the other things that, modern mainstream media, all the major networks, all their news departments have 70% of their ad revenue from pharmaceutical companies.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the news.
Where'd you get that number from? The 70%.
That was told to me. Where did I get it?
Watch TV. Brought to you by Pfizer. Brought to you by Pfizer. It's at all their ad revenue is mostly pharmaceuticals.
But you're right. I should have the.
And you can Google it. You have a computer right there.
I should have the. I should have the sources. That is a very scientific thing to have.
We have them, but they're called laptops.
But I think anyone listening can look it up for themselves. But I also I didn't necessarily prepare a slideshow for you.
You awake over there? What are you looking at?
So anyway, so
my stuff.
So the point is,
you're not even paying attention.
I am.
The point is these cells in your body are clued in to making the T cell, which are then the spike protein, which are then attacked by your own body. So that's why we have so much inflammation and strange deaths that are not looked into, because it's a side effect of these injections, the specific injections that we're talking about. Does anyone have anything to refute or add to me?
I think that everybody who has a computer should be able to actually access any of the questions that you have. That way we can have it.
Well, I just saw it's 75%. I did not know that.
But you have a laptop. You can corroborate it.
But you don't
watch... Well, that's what I checked. But I don't watch normal TV. Like,
yeah. No. On your laptop.
That's why I said it's 75%.
Oh, it is? You just looked it up at 75?
Yeah.
Well, next time, let me know so I can go, cool. You want to do another one?
Okay, so you looked it up, and it is 75% of major network news revenue is from pharmaceutical companies.
Well, there are only 7 major companies that own all the information. I mean, all the networks anyway. It's AT&T.
Disney. Viacom, Warner Brothers.
Yep, is one of them. There's 7.
Time Warner.
They own all the... They control everything. Time Warner. Okay, we almost got them all. Somebody should be...
Is there Comcast?
No, I already did Comcast. Oh. It's Comcast, AT&T.
GE, are they still there?
No, GE's been macrophaged.
Oh.
AT&T, Viacom, Time Warner.
Well, I think there's a lot of them, and there's a lot of... Oh, I had a presentation in a class last semester, and we did Disney. And there was a great graphic I found of a Mickey Mouse-shaped Death Star with all of the companies that Disney owns inside
I've
the Death
that.
Star.
Yep.
And it's just an enormous conglomeration of crazy, weird things. Disney owns Vice.com.
Yes.
Like, which used to be the most tough, rough, and and you know, bad place to see very very cool far out news. But anyhow, so what we have is that these mRNA vaccines don't work also because they're not effective. I mean, what happened? Biden just got it twice. You get the
four shots, two rounds of Paxlovid, and he's still tested positive, and he's probably going to drop dead by the end of the year.
And these injections—they
can only shoot him up for so long.
I also saw the from April and May of this year. I saw a graphic that showed that nine out of ten people who died from COVID in the hospital were injected.
Yes, they were.
And so you can get this COVID even after boosters. So what's the point of having a vaccine? There's no need to have it. It's not even a vaccine. It doesn't work. It's a treatment. And the best treatment is to treat it like a flu. Treat it like any other respiratory disease. You just isn't there ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and what's the other one?
Vitamin D. Oh, fluvoxamine.
That one, yep.
Vitamin D, K, quercetin, NAC.
Now, these are all compounds that have existed for a long period of time and have shown to be very, very effective to many different diseases around the world. I think ivermectin is listed as one of the top 10 most necessary medicines for the UN.
CDC essential medicine. To get into this country, you have to do a round of ivermectin.
Oh.
Before you get in here. Everywhere but at the southern border.
And so,
especially if you come from the Middle East.
So these things work, and they're very cheap. There's generic versions of them, and there's no reason for not to use it, except that the new injections will make money for the giant pharmaceuticals. So they also had their most profitable year in ever.
Ever.
50
ever,
years?
Yeah. First three quarters.
Last year.
First quarter, they made more than they did the year before and ever in the history of the company. And they're projected to make another 27% per quarter and then another one.
And that doesn't lead to any kind of conflict of interest or any kind of power dynamics, does it?
Well, considering they have to pay the FDA. The FDA pays the... Pharmaceuticals companies pay the FDA to get approval of their drugs.
Yes.
So...
And you can fast track it. So not only does it not work and it's not effective, it's not even needed because it's if what you're worried about is fatality, it's only for the old people. It still is, and it always was in the beginning. People who are otherwise inclined to believe something else are deluded and emotionally over the top, neurotic. The first people who got freaked out about this were the ones who were already on the edge. They were already like hanging on to life by a thread. They were scared by the dogs. They were scared by the trees moving and by little cats like running across their path. These
You're people, describing everybody under 40.
Well,
in this country, well, for the most part, except the ones who are awake.
And that was part of the plan is to.
Are you either of you on prescription medications?
No. No.
That's another key part of it.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, I haven't thought of this. Go on.
They're on medication. 90% of the people that are paranoid about COVID still now are the ones that were on the edge. 75% of the American population is on some sort of antidepressant, antipsychotic, anti-whatever, and that's also that those are the people that are on the edge. They were the first ones to go. The last ones to go were the laptop people, which are also heavily medicated, but they were sheltered in castles, pretty much.
I'm not clear of what you mean. The laptop people are sheltered in castles.
You say the last ones to go, what does that mean?
The laptop people were the ones that, about 6 months ago, oh my God, I caught COVID. I did everything I possibly could, and I still got it. That was the laptop class. They were the last ones, the first ones that they were okay with lockdowns, the first ones to get everything, Grubhub, all that other stuff, while everybody else was still trying to function. And when they finally started getting sick... Mm-hmm. Not dying, but getting sick. I saw six months ago. I did everything I could, and I still got COVID. There were so many articles on every major news. I did everything I could, and then politicians started getting testing positive. Not necessarily getting sick, So now it has become, it's now become normal. Biden tests positive twice in less than a month.
Yeah.
And it's not even a full, it's not even a story. So what I'm saying is the people that were on the, right at the beginning of this, the people that were on the edge were the same group of people that have been basically prescribed. I'm talking about anyone 40 below.
Oh, so, yes. Yeah, so people with self-diagnosed or problems that they think need to be solved are sort of neurotic anyway.
Exactly.
And so they're more likely to
create a crisis, have the solution, and everybody's fine.
Yes, we'll get to that definitely. But the problem is, since it's not needed now, because most people are not going to be very sick from it, then you can not require it for a job or for any other thing. I've been looking at jobs, and there's a lot of companies out there that say we make it a requirement if you work here to have a COVID injection, an injection to prevent COVID, supposedly.
That's actually discrimination. You can file a complaint with the employer for discrimination.
And it says we believe that this is important to keep everybody safe. So it's kind of like a religion. Now, I had I caught COVID around Christmas last year, and I kind of felt bad for quite a while. But then just a couple of weeks ago, I realized from going to all the farmers markets that there's this, I don't know if you've heard of this, called bee propolis, P-R-O-P-O-L-I-S, propolis. There's three things you can get from the beehive. There's the honey, there's the bee pollen, which is really good. If you mix pollen and honey together, that is the mythical food of the gods, the nectar of immortality, the milk of magnesia.
Milk of magnesia.
No, the milk of ambrosia. But then the third thing is propolis, which is
the
bee
wax.
Glue, and right. It's the glue that the bees chew up they mix with their saliva and the honey and the pollen, and they chew it up and they spread it all on the inside of the hive, and it keeps everything out. It's antifungal, antimicrobial, antibacterial, and antiviral. And I realized that I could start having this. You just get a jar of pills. It's just a little capsule that's filled with powdered propolis. And when I started feeling that, everything that I had attributed to having a problem since catching COVID went away. It was fantastic.
So wait, you were sick for a couple of weeks, and then you discovered this miracle cure.
No, I was sick for a couple of weeks, and then I didn't.
Well, for
have,
your fitness level, you shouldn't be. Do you have asthma or any other?
No, I have. I'm very high. I have a very good fitness level, but. I have gained a little bit of weight, which I'm trying to work off.
When you get sick, it's usually, I mean,
donuts.
How sick were you? Could you lift your head up the pillow?
Yes, definitely. No, it was definitely like a really strong flu, and the worst of it was 5 days, and the worst part of it was 1 day.
Okay.
But it was a flu that progressed for like 2 weeks, but there was a lingering thing that lingered for several months. I didn't feel like I was
long
fully
COVID.
Back, and I didn't know if it was because I was in grad school or because I had just caught the COVID or what. But once I had the propolis, it got rid of everything.
Sure, that just wasn't a placebo?
I don't know. There's no way to know.
Exactly.
But I would say that anything that helps you moves you in the right direction is something you should think of. So, your food should be your medicine, not necessarily your
poison.
Your man-made molecules that make money for people. But if you can find something that's natural and has been used for thousands of years, then it's probably going to work. So anyway, there's many other ways to adjust your COVID sensitivity than having the injection of an experimental, man-made molecule that, as someone who is science-based, I understand that nobody really knows how things work. I mean, what we really know is one, math and the sun coming up. That's fundamentally, we don't know how the body will interact with all these different molecules that we make. So I think it's better to be on the safe side. And,
no,
and
Dr.
I mean,
Burke said we had a lot of hope for it. We had a
who's,
lot.
Who's Dr. Burke?
The COVID response woman from the kerchief.
Oh, with the scarf?
Yes, with the scarf. She came out with a book.
Oh, some kind of government appointee?
She was the head of the COVID response team for the incoming Trump administration.
Oh, what a joke. Any
what
kind
did
of,
she say?
She wrote a book where she said we hoped a lot would happen with this vaccine and we were mistaken. And then 50% of the people who died with the Omicron were over older people who had all been vaccinated. Hmm. She's now saying that on national TV.
Well, I think...
Yet the argument hasn't changed. Nothing has changed based on her. It's almost like they're not even... she's a has-been. We don't need to listen to her. She's. It's almost like she's admitting guilt before the midterms.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Well, now how do you... How do you pivot away from forcing people to get an injection of a chemical to saying that, well, we don't need to have that done? Because that really has to be done. I mean, there's no need for this to continue. And anybody who's really forcing somebody to do it, it's the same thing as forcing an abortion, right? Or forcing you not to have an abortion if you want one. It's bodily autonomy. It's telling you...
Well, it depends on which
you
side you're talking on.
You got
to
do your...
My body, my choice only applies to one side and at one different thing. It only applies to one thing. And that's, it ain't the shot.
Yeah, supposedly. All right, well, and then the last thing about this, and then we'll move on to another topic. So the injuries that happen from these, people die at different periods of time and different circumstances, and which are not immediately able to connect to the injection on an individual basis. So you can, you know, you might die within 2 weeks or a month, but it's from...
Or years.
It's from injection-related issues, which is inflammation of certain tissues in different places. So depending on how the injection goes, literally within millimeters in your body, it can affect different parts of your body in different ways. And so this is something that has to be either tacitly acknowledged by the removal of forced injection mandates, or functionally available to everybody to know that the whole thing was an experiment. And now, I just have to say, at this time, it's 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford.
You remember thalidomide? Are you familiar with thalidomide?
I'm familiar. What happened with that exactly? That was in the Vietnam War, right?
15 years. No, they were giving it to American women to prevent them from getting miscarriages.
When did that happen?
After World War II and before, during Vietnam. From that, it started around after the Second War.
And then
and did it work?
Hmm? It
did
started...
It work? No,
it didn't. It created a generation of deformed children.
People, kids were born with birth defects from moms who had taken thalidomide.
Because there wasn't a high incidence of miscarriages in the American population. You know, there's one, you'd get, the average is one in every 25,000 or something like that. I'm not sure what the... But you guys have computers. You could look and see what the fertility, what the miscarriage rate was for in 1970. But they created this a shot that you gave it to a woman. Like, if you'd had a history of them, I think two was the average. If you had two miscarriages, you could go see your GYN, and they'd give you a shot of thalidomide, and that would prevent you from having a miscarriage. And I guess it happened. It was, but that was before they changed the law that says you shouldn't experiment on pregnant women, because there was all sorts of horrendous results of their testing. Even though they did it on rats, they did it on rabbits, they did it on, and then they tested it on humans. And it took them almost 5 years to acknowledge that there was a problem, and another 10 to recognize that all these kids of a certain time frame had, like, if they were born at all, born without a hand or a habit.
Yeah, there's...
Google it.
There's not necessarily a correlation between a new molecule and its complete 100% effectiveness without any side effects. It takes a lot of time to become aware of these things. So some of the large-scale patterns of injuries show similar effects. Lots of people have face shingles or face paralysis. And this is just one of the types of injuries that you can get from these injections. So these things just have to be aware. You know, people need to be made aware of these, and they just have to be checked out on. So now we were talking about how the pharma companies are paying 75% of the ad revenue for the mainstream news. That has an effect of forcing or coercing the news people to not report negatively on something. So, for example, say back in the 50s, you'd have Lucky Strike cigarettes advertising for the Honeymooners. So you would not say something bad about Lucky Strike cigarettes on the Honeymooners show because the sponsor is there. And then what do you have to do? You have to go get another sponsor. It takes so much trouble. I always wondered that, actually. Why not? Why not just be free to say something, and then if the sponsor doesn't like it...
Because the sponsors were the ones paying for the show.
Oh, because the new media, and they had the budget.
That's exactly... It, Lucky Strikes presents Lawrence Welk Show. They're the ones who bankrolled the creation of TV.
But then if you realize that it's bad to have this sponsor, and you can get another sponsor, don't you just hire...
But you can't.
You just hire
If you're Danny Thomas and you have Salem as your sponsor, and you just bought a new boat and a new car and a new this, nobody else... Winston isn't going to come along and offer you a better deal. Why? Because Salem is already there first in this proprietary ownership of a star. So they were screwed. They weren't going to... Even after they found out the cigarettes were... Now you can notice that cigarette ads aren't anywhere except in low-income neighborhoods. They're not on TV. They're not on buses. So the companies are... It's a vicious cycle. Lucky Strikes wants you to be on TV. You want to be a star. You bought your car, your boat, your whatever. You're not going to bite the hand. Even if they're... although now they do that. Now they're just the opposite, you know. Oh, all of a sudden in the UK, fossil fuels are now considered green. Did you catch that at all last six months?
But wait, is that part of a way to greenwash something?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Is that also part of the media manipulation that I want to talk about?
Yes.
So since pharma is paying for 75% of these news items for the news budgets, the news is not going to negatively report on pharma. In fact, they're going to be positively reporting on the things that pharma wants you to report on.
Except for the exception of one person who's a major media person. I won't mention his name because people probably freak out. But he goes against... the pharmaceutical industry, even though they foot the bill for his show. And they're letting him.
Okay, good. Well, so one of the things that happens is that pharma needs to have a market for this product. So they've got the new style of injection, and it's a chemical injection that they have invented. And they're like, well, this is a good molecule. We need to create a reason for it. Oh, in the same way that in the 70s, do you have a ring around the collar? Then you need the special soap that cleans your ring around the collar.
And Whisk! Then,
and now you're like, oh, do I have a ring around? I've never even looked at my collar before. Do I have a ring around the collar? Look at my collar. Oh, my God, I have it. I have it. I have ring around
Heavens.
The collar. I have to get this chemical to fix the ring around the collar that I never knew I had even before. So that's what happens here. You've got the virus was a way to blow it out of proportion to create a new market for a injection. So the way you do that is to force everyone to take it through the fear, and you make people afraid of a thing that only is the same as the flu. The same as any other flu we've ever had, and you force everyone to take it by spreading fear and making people peer pressure, and it starts with, like we said before, what we were talking about before. It starts with the most neurotic people, and it starts with the weirdest
the ones who won't question.
Yes, and the ones who are already looking for a daddy. And who are just worried that something's going to hurt them. And, oh, no, someone protect me. I can't protect myself.
And what age group is that? Anyone below 40.
Oh. Well, I don't necessarily agree with that. But it's
I don't either. I'm
how
below
old are
40.
You?
Below 40.
Yeah, okay, you're one of the exceptions. You're one of the awake. But look at the majority. You're not on prescription medication. You're not insecure. You were definitely not raised in bubble, dipped in Purell, wrapped in bubble wrap, and given a participation trophy, which is most American.
What she means is coddled. You weren't said you're the best, even
if
you weren't.
Yeah, you weren't, but you probably weren't too, because you grew up. Well, you are an only child. But other than that,
I have the knowledge of medicine, so I'm more clear of what's going on right now.
Yeah, but not when you were 8.
Oh, that's
no. Knowing you were probably doing piano stuff, and you know, a virtuoso, because that's the impression that most Westerners have of Asian individuals that are extremely well accomplished. So you might have 3 degrees to my two, mm-hmm. you know, and have done it by the time you were 11. And you're also a figure skater, and you...
Okay, let's stop with the stereotypes and get into reality.
Stereotypes are based on in reality.
But that's the thing, too, is that if you're too worried about talking about about honest things, and you want people to conform to a certain way of talking and thinking, in other words, you can't... You want somebody to not say certain things, then you're part of the problem. If you are forcing people to think a certain way, then you are prejudicial.
Yeah, but they think that's what they think.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they think.
Wait, what?
Just what you just said. You are the problem.
Oh, I'm the
you
problem.
You are the uninformed one. You. That is the problem. The people that have swallowed one narrative, for lack of a better word, think that you are the problem.
I'm the problem because I go against what they think and they want to fight.
No, it makes... What I've discovered is people want to be comfortable, and people like us make them uncomfortable.
Because
they're uncomfortable, it is you that is causing me... Yeah, it's projection. Mm. You're making me uncomfortable, so I'm going to blame you because you're the one making me feel uncomfortable.
Oh, right. Yeah. Look what you're making me do.
That's right. I'm beating the hell out of this bug and taking off its wings because you made me feel insecure or threatened or whatever.
I mean, it took me 10 years of therapy to be comfortable with my own emotions and take responsibility for them and to even acknowledge that they exist and to understand what an emotion was. I didn't even know what you know, the equivalent of red means in emotional sense. I thought,
well, think of the...
I couldn't even see different colors in emotions.
Think of how many people are just like you roaming around there.
Exactly.
For some reason, you escaped it, and I can't figure out why.
Well, I think...
I can know why you can, because you grew up in a different culture that doesn't necessarily coddle their children as ours do, and you, because you're in a totally different situation as well, and they weren't kneeling at your feet like they are the average American kid. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I think when you... I lost it.
Get used to it. You're an aging male.
Right on.
Get used to that, too. Where's the defib machine?
Oh. No, that was the stabbing. You were doing the stabbing
in
my heart.
But I took it one level higher. Oh. Defib.
Well, this is all part of the way to make you think in a way that is unnatural. And if you're watching too much electronic media, you become, you know, you think that that's reality. You know, if I was for many years, I watched a movie every single night because I did not say...
The same movie?
No.
Well, that would be different movie.
Groundhog Day.
That's
every
so
day.
That would be insane. But I said less in one day than I said when I first met you today. I was catatonic because I was taking what was that drug? Depakote, because I got divorced, and then they the psychiatrist said, well, we'll put you on Depakote. That'll do
something.
Yeah,
take a pill and your life will get better. That is the Western canon,
and
right there.
And it didn't
get
better. I got fatter and slower, and I had no...
Fatter, slower, and easier to catch when it came to Thanksgiving.
Yes. And I had no interest in doing anything, really. I had no drive, no motivation. All of this life spark was diminished. And I think drugs, especially human-made and kind of unilaterally distributed drugs, are the least important thing to make you function in the world. You have to have therapy and nutrition, and move forward with a direction that's pure to your heart. So after I stopped those drugs, that's when my life got better.
Well, and you're a very good ad for the non-pharmaceutical interventions.
It took a long time, but you have to, you know, I remember very specifically when it happened. I was in the drugs in a roommate situation in a not very good house, and I something on Facebook, somebody just posted something that said, if you want to get out of their grips, you have to stop taking their drugs.
Nice.
And it was just one of those little pictures on Facebook, and this is somebody who I had not spoken to since high school, and I didn't really know all that well, but it was just these. It was maybe it was the arc of
what
the,
was it? What was it again? If you want to.
It was to that effect. If you want to get out of their control or their clutches, you have to stop taking their drugs. So that to me meant, I've been thinking about things have not been going right for a long time, and I was on a good track for a long time, but then things are not going right. Why is that? And I couldn't figure it out. And it's because I was in the drugs. I was under the influence of these prescription medications, and I couldn't think clearly. So once I got rid of those, my life definitely improved. I got my energy back. I even though I was biking all the time, I was still like 50 pounds heavier than I am now. And once I stopped that, that's a side effect of Depakote, actually, is to gain a lot of weight.
Yeah.
But
which also leads to more depression.
Yeah, and more health problems.
And low libido. It's
and just other compounding effects that grow off of that. All right. So anyway, that'll lead into the next way to think clearly. You have to have high quality health and high quality food. You have to eliminate all the chemicals from your diet. That means nothing in a big yellow and blue package that somebody spent
yellow. You mean Kix for breakfast? I love Kix.
that somebody had to spend money on to get an artist to design it to make it look good to you, and I know this sounds ridiculous, but I know how to do it on a very low budget. Let me tell you, and you can go to farmers markets and get matching if you're on government assistance. And the farmers markets changed my life because I started going to them, and I learned about new nutritious food that was new to me, new types of food like kohlrabi and many different types
funky
of egg.
Funky kohlrabi.
Eggplants. And even kale. I knew what kale was, but I didn't
know
what
greens.
To do.
The leafy greens family.
And now every single day I eat kale. I'm a kale eater. But I don't really
TMI, hun.
I don't care about kale. What I care about is the quality of the diet.
Yeah, but you grew up. The thing is, we grew up eating that stuff.
I grew up with like Kraft macaroni and cheese.
Oh,
and, like,
I'm sorry.
Eating dessert for breakfast.
Yeah.
You ate dessert for breakfast?
Well,
you ate dessert for breakfast
sometimes,
like Pop Tarts, stuff like that.
Sometimes,
dessert,
yeah.
Or like, sometimes. Oh, yeah. Okay.
I mean, Pop-Tart is like a cake or a muffin or something else
right.
That's just bad for you. And, you know, it's a continuous kind of individual improvement. You have to figure out what you want. But the chemicals exist in every place. They exist in every part of our food ecosystem, specifically in canned food. The lining in canned food has chemicals that will shrink your testicles. And you should also be sure to never...
That's how you get everyone out there to stop eating canned food.
No, it ain't. It won't be enough. It will not be enough.
You don't think so?
No, because people are too comfortable. It's like if you are... I have a friend of mine who just had a... you know Family Guy?
The animated TV show Family Guy?
You ever see Stewie? Yeah.
Yes.
Turn him sideways. Guy? My friend was that... morbidly obese like that. He looked like Stewie from the side.
Mm-hmm.
Had a hernia sticking out that would be like Stewie's ear if you put him sideways, right? Mm-hmm. Had a hernia sticking out of his belly button for years. Was big. Had a hernia. Two heart attacks under 40. I suggested that after he get all the stuff taken care of, let's go exercise. So we worked out for a year.
Mm-hmm.
He dropped 30 pounds.
Wow.
It was too cold out for him. We did it for almost a year, from January to December. Coming around to the next January, February, it's freezing out. It's always freezing out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can do it. And he had asked me specifically to give him enough motivation to drop all the weight.
Mm.
He gained it back within 6 months, plus 20 pounds.
It was winter.
I'm out there. What do you mean it's winter?
Running?
We started in the winter. He just couldn't do it. So I'm saying, you're saying people are stuck in their... Having someone who's grown up on canned foods go to the store on their own, try to figure out something to eat, and then, I mean, try to figure out in the vegetable aisle what they're doing without somebody else will lead to failure.
Yeah, it's
because
true.
They won't do it. It's no different than stopping prescription medication or any other bad habit or whatever. It's so much easier... to be comfortable. That's why we're in this shit show. Because
say that.
Sorry. Because people are too comfortable. It was easier to get the shot. It was easier to stay home. It was easier to get Netflix. It was easier to do that stuff. Any interaction where you had, if you went outside and someone didn't have a mask on, it was easier to turn around or to yell at them than it would. No, it's not that easy to yell at somebody, but it was easier for them to turn around as an excuse to go back in the house.
Yeah, now, the thing is, the food we eat is very individual, and it's very much a part of us. Of course, we are what we eat, and you're used to certain flavor profiles and certain molecules in your tongue. When you're a kid, you like Twinkies. You want Twinkies and Twizzlers and Skittles, except now all that stuff is GMO. It's bioengineered. Skittles says made with bioengineered ingredients. That means it's poisonous because we don't know what it's going to do. It's another new molecule that has no way to, we don't know how it's going to act.
And what happened last year, or the last 2 years, the average American gained 15 to 30 pounds.
Really?
Yep.
Mostly from drinking. I'm going to say it's from drinking.
And stress eating.
Yeah.
And they're same thing. This year, no, 21 to 22. No, 20 to 21, 15 to 30 pounds. This year, 21 to 22, same, maintaining the same fitness, maintaining the same fat level. They haven't dropped it.
Wow. That's what happened right now. In one way, people are getting used to this stuff. Another way is that the food companies are hijacking the real food. And pharmaceutical companies are hijacking the medicine, so it's kind of contaminated it with its profit and stuff.
It's all about the money. It's all about the Benjamins.
So should we start planting our own food?
Yes.
Yeah. That's a good way to do it.
Yes, you should.
That way you know exactly what goes in your food, and you're not dependent on a company that is trying to make money for your health.
Just think of Nairobi. They do pretty damn well without the government intervention. But it'd be better.
Not entirely.
I'm just saying. But if the government shut down tomorrow, if it shut down in Cambridge, Massachusetts, if there was no facilities or whatever, and you couldn't get any, versus a town in where you grew up, which do you think would survive?
I mean, definitely someone in Nairobi would survive.
Exactly. So yes, grow your own food.
Yeah, because if there is some kind of...
And stock up on things.
If there is some kind of systemic meltdown where the food supply chains don't work, then you'll need to have your thing. But I disagree. I do not think the food supply chain will stop for any kind of natural reason. Because
when you say stop, what do you mean?
Well, there has been rumors of food shortages that are probably planned.
Have you not been to a grocery store lately?
I go all the time. Why?
And are your shelves full?
I mean, I don't know. They look full.
Look closer.
Okay, I'll look closer.
What you should do is the next time you go to the store, go think if you can remember what you bought half a year ago, and go to, or just do your aisles.
I mean, everybody's got the things.
Right. Oh, well, then never mind then. If you go, there's a large percentage of items that are no longer available.
For example, what market around here?
Any of them.
Which one?
Wegmans.
Whole Foods, yeah. Go and...
What item exactly?
Wait, I'm not connecting. So, there is a shortage.
Sponges.
Okay.
Sponges are gone. You haven't
Q-tips.
Q-tips.
You didn't find any organic Q-tips the other day.
Yeah, I use organic Q-tips, yeah. But you're sticking it in your ear. You gotta have... You don't want chemicals in your ear, do you?
Okay, and what does that mean? Like, I don't get...
No, he said that he didn't believe in food... Food shortages.
And you said
something about supply chain. No, okay. it's obvious. For the last 3 years, look at what you had 3 years ago, and go into a store now. The shelves are narrower. There's more spread out.
I'm sorry, I don't agree with that.
You couldn't find Q-tips.
Yes, but it seems like just small things that have been, for some reason, pandemic related. It's not like large scale food shortages like cereal or. Raviolis or meat or something like that.
Look, meat is definitely...
meat is not there.
Like, really?
No. There's a shortage, yeah. Oh. It's definitely more expensive to get, like, less meat.
Expensive?
Yeah, ground beef used to be $3.99 a pound, now it's $6. And it's smaller, it's shrinkflation, too. All the stuff that you used to buy, like Pringles, that was a perfect example, or ice cream. But Haagen-Dazs did this 20 years ago. Same price...
But
small package.
Thing. Oh, a lot of people are doing that.
Yeah, everybody's doing it. Shrink Shrinkflation, that's what it's called.
Yeah. Right, right, right.
So, yeah, it's there.
So,
okay, well,
do you guys think it has to do something, there's relation with Bill Gates buying all the farmlands?
Yes, in China, too. China and Bill Gates are the number one and number two owners of farmland in this country. This country.
China's number one?
Bill Gates is number one. China's number two.
No way.
Oh, yeah, way. Look at it up, you guys. You got computers.
Okay.
He's trying to take over the food production.
Now the idea
so
is...
So we can eat bugs.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. The idea of a bug.
Yeah.
There was one day I bugs went to the library and I saw
what?
A book...
They're healthy.
No, they're not.
I Go saw ahead. A book that teach kids to eat bugs. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of dishes teach kids to eat bugs.
Kids don't even know how to turn the damn stove on. When you can microwave it, that's when they'll eat it.
I saw that book too. The front cover, it's a big kid's book, and the front cover is a giant smile with three different kinds of bugs on it
hanging
with curly
out,
legs
right.
and like flies and stuff. Oh my
so
God.
Gross.
It's disgusting. Why
but
why
at least
would
it's
you
not processed?
No,
wasn't that your point?
No, but
yes,
the thing is, it is
point.
Processed because you can't. They have to manufacture them because there's no way they could dig them. Go to any place on the planet and try and dredge up enough bugs for a million people. It's coming.
Yeah.
And well, the ones that are
so
in,
they're manufacturing bugs for people to eat.
No, they're gonna.
Figure out a way to GMO.
They're gonna trick you into eating bugs because they want to keep all the good stuff for themselves and have everybody else eat garbage. Because that's how you think about it. Now, this is not they. This is not... Now, well, you say the they. It's not the they.
Like, <It's, what? laughs> I don't know.
We'll get to that later near the end. But let me just finish with this eating healthy food. You don't eat bugs. It's obvious. Nobody
hey,
eats
I got
to
correct something.
Okay.
So Bill Gates has the largest private farmland owner.
Yeah.
But there is public land, too. Isn't there? Are
no.
they not doing
No, it's
any
either private farms.
That?
No. They're private-owned farms that are production farms, which are shrinking every year. And they're only 3% of the land mass. 3% of the population are farmers.
Wait, but he only has, well, like according to this
only
site, he
has?
Only has 300,000 acres.
Do you know how much that is?
That's not a lot.
That's the same size as Maryland and Pennsylvania.
Combined?
No, I think, no, wait a minute. Pennsylvania, Maryland. There are three states that take up 300,000 acres, and that's enough. You don't need much when you're doing when you're doing GMO science. When you're basically making things out of molecules versus land, you don't need a lot. Go to the Netherlands. Oh no, not anymore. Or any Danish country that has a farm base, you can. There's one that has potatoes. They have probably 100 acres or whatever, and they produce like almost 50% of the potatoes for that region.
Wow. 100
but that's
acres
because
makes...
they've been working on potatoes for years, so they have figured it out.
Yeah.
Although I don't.
Well, now this continues anyway. On with the healthy food. You should never eat synthetic food, fake meat, this stuff that's being bioengineered to taste like meat, but it's actually made out of plants. Now, if you think something's processed by making a cake, the fake food or fake meat. Is extremely processed. It's the most processed thing. It's got chemicals in it. I mean, how do you grow all these plants? You grow them with GMO plants that are the seeds are coated in glyphosate, which is Roundup. Glyphosate causes cancer, and it's coated by all the seeds are coated in this, and then they grow up resistant to glyphosate.
And then the bugs eat it.
So then you spray. Yeah. Then the bugs eat it, and you're gonna eat the bugs, and it goes right to your gut.
Oh God!
And so they spray all the glyphosate on the bioengineered crops, which are resistant to glyphosate, but it will kill all the other weeds and the other
but not the
plants.
Bugs.
But yeah. And so then they take these plants with all the pesticide in them, and they've processed them, and they put them into your food. And that's one of them. For example, fake meat is the most obvious one. I mean, it's so fake looking. But other things are fast food, the cheapest food. Restaurants are a business. They're not looking to feed you high-quality food. Restaurants make money. They make money by selling it very cheap so that people will buy it. Except, how do they get the food that cheap? You've got to question, how does McDonald's hamburger cost a dollar? Because it's filled with chemicals. And it's basically poisonous if you were to eat that. I remember 15 years ago that movie came out
Super Size Me?
Yeah, Super Size Me with Morgan Spurlock. And he ate just McDonald's for a month. And his doctor said, you got to stop or you're going to die. And, I mean, nobody does eat McDonald's for a month that, you know, I mean...
Well, the sad part about McDonald's is that it used to be just the opposite. It went from farm to table, and the burgers were some of the best in the country because they own the means of production. They went from cow to burger to person.
Yeah.
And then it got, like everything, it got too big and...
Well, it becomes a race to the bottom of lack of profit. So you just make everything... less expensive and lower quality, and over time it just gets to the end, and what are you left with?
Sounds like the government.
Other things you have to be aware of these chemicals in your environment are the water that you drink. Now, I have one of the best water filters I could find for an apartment. It's called the Big Berkey with PF1 fluoride filter. This filters out...
Are you
out,
doing a public service in it?
No. I think the ones I found that are the best are extremely expensive. And you have to install them in your house.